Psalms chapter 15, continuing our journey through this chapter. The question is asked in verse number 1, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? And then, of course, at the end of the chapter, he that doeth these things shall never be moved. And between there, we have a whole list of things that God requires, if you will, or God... I don't think God ever really suggests or recommends anything. I think God commands things. And these are things that ought to be evident in all of our lives, and something that we need to in order to have the stability and the strength that God would have us to have. And so we began in verse number 2 there, he that walketh uprightly. Talked a little bit about that a couple weeks ago, and then, and worketh righteousness. And last week we went over that. And this week, the phrase there at the end of verse number 2, and speaketh the truth in his heart. Speaketh the truth in his heart. I believe the emphasis in this portion of this scripture and this phrase here, I believe the emphasis is on the heart, not necessarily on the truth, although the Bible has a lot to say about what we say. The Bible speaks a lot about how we're to talk and the things that we're to talk about. And there's a lot in the scriptures also about truth and what truth really is. Understand, truth is static. It never changes. Truth is the same yesterday, today, forever, just as Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What's true now was true 100 years ago, 1,000 years ago, and will be true 100 and 1,000 years from now. And 2 plus 2 is 4, the sky is blue, the grass is green, and God's word never fails. And so what the scriptures talk about and what the Bible says and the truth of the word of God never changes. It's always the same. And doesn't matter the society we live in, it doesn't matter the culture we live in, doesn't matter what part of the world we live in, truth is truth. And so it's very important to know the truth, because when we know the truth, what does the Bible say? You shall be free, right? And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And so freedom and liberty is found in truth. Oftentimes we think that freedom and liberty is found in the fact that we throw off authority, but that's not it. Freedom is measured by boundaries. And truth, of course, creates those boundaries. And so truth is very important. And of course, then the Bible talks a lot about the way we speak and the things that we say. Matthew 12, I wrote a few scriptures down. Matthew 12, 34 says, O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Ephesians 4, 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Titus 2, 1, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. We mentioned, I think, last week, it doesn't mean it turns into sound doctrine. It adorns it. It becomes sound doctrine. It makes sound doctrine look good, the things that we say. There, Colossians 4, 6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. So there's a lot in the scriptures, and that's not all, but there's a lot in the scriptures that talk about the things that we say and how we say what we say, not just what we say, but how we say it. And so those things are very important. But understand, I believe that all of those things, of course, they emanate from truth, but truth has to lodge itself somewhere before it can be spoken. And that is in our hearts. And we must internalize that truth. And as the scriptures say there in Matthew 12, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Did you know you never say anything that you've never heard before or read somewhere? People have taught children how to read. Of course, we teach children how to speak as they're getting older. We teach them the words to say, and of course, they pick up, seems like automatically, on those meanings of those words. And we say things, and they just kind of pick up on it. But the fact of the matter is, you don't say anything that you've never heard or seen before. Nothing. No word comes out of your mouth that has not been internalized in some way. At the same time, you don't say anything that doesn't go through your mind. You ever heard anybody say, well, I spoke before I thought? No, you just didn't think long enough about it, is what it was, you know? You just didn't quite stop and say, now, how's this, you know, how's this going to be taken? What's this going to sound like? And we just didn't think long enough about it. But the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, out of the abundance of the heart, and I'm not going to belabor what all that means, but out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. But what do we know about the heart? What does the Bible tell us about the heart? It is deceitful, right? And not just deceitful, but deceitful above all. It's deceitful above everything else that's deceitful. And it is desperately wicked. Not just wicked, but desperately wicked. And the Bible says, of course, then the question there in that scripture, who can know it? And so we know that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. That if we're not careful, if our heart, if we've not internalized in our heart the right things, then what comes out of that heart and then out of our mouths, so as that goes, will also be wrong. And so we have to have the right things in our heart. That's why the Bible tells us, thy word have I hid in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against thee, right? And so as we internalize the things that we ought to in our hearts, and we guard our hearts, keep thy heart with all diligence. Guard your heart or keep it with all diligence. Why? Because out of it are the issues of life. And so it's very, very important to have the right kind of heart. And so here we're talking about speaking the truth in your heart. You'll never speak the truth out of your mouth until you speak it in your heart. And in order to do that, you have to know what the truth is, you see. And so all of these things, all of these three things work together. Not just what we say, but what the truth is and whether or not we've actually accepted it and believed it. Now go over to Proverbs chapter 23. I want to look at several scriptures here in Proverbs 23 that deal with this idea of the kind of heart that we're to have that will, I believe, help us to have a truth-filled heart. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse number 1. Proverbs chapter 23, verse number 1 says, when thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee, and put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given to appetite. Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. Labor not to be rich, cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. So here we have in this chapter the first mention of the heart and the place that it has in our relationships with other people. The Bible tells us, as you think in your heart, so are you. Now that doesn't mean, you know, well, I think this is in the world we're living in, right? You can be anything you want to be. That doesn't make it true, okay? Because truth still reigns, right? And so just because somebody identifies as something or says that they're something or whatever it may be doesn't necessarily make it true. But the Bible tells us, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And it's not necessarily about us. It's not necessarily about me thinking, well, I can be anything that I want to be. That's not necessarily it. This is a reference to this individual who is trying to get you to do something that you shouldn't do. And this ruler there, and the fact that he's trying to woo you with these dainty meats, these delicate little appetizing bite morsels, you know, that oh, that was really good. And so as a result of enjoying what he has to offer, then you will be more compliant to do what he wants you to do, okay? And what he's saying here is, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Well, what is his heart? It goes on to say there that eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. So the idea here is, it's really a divided heart, so to speak, I suppose you could say. The psalmist said, unite my heart to fear thy name. But here we have an individual with a divided heart because he wants what he wants and he's trying to get you to do what he wants. And he's really, for all intents and purposes, bribing you with tasty morsels, you know, tasty food at his table because he knows you enjoy eating. That's why it says if you're given to appetite, put a knife to your throat. Because you're, and again, this is not, there's a dual meaning here. Of course, we do have the meaning of, you know, the idea of gluttony and all those types of things. But the idea here more along the lines of be very careful about what you swallow. Not just physically, but spiritually also. Be careful about what you take in. Because there's individuals that don't have your best interest in mind. Their heart is not right with you. It's a divided heart. It's not united to fear God. It's not united with your best interest in mind. And so his heart is not with thee. Look at verse number 8 there. The morsel which thou hast eaten shalt thou vomit up and lose thy sweet words. Speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. Remove not the old landmark and enter not into the fields of the fatherless, for their Redeemer is mighty. He shall plead their cause with thee. Apply thine heart unto instruction, and thine ears to the words of knowledge. So here we have the applied heart. We have the applied heart. This word literally means put to good use. We put it to application. It doesn't just sit over in the corner and collect dust. No, my heart takes the things that it needs to take. By the way, when we're talking about our heart, we're talking about our decision maker, the seat of our emotions, our mind, our will, and our emotions. It's the trigger within us that makes choices, you know. Some would call it the soul of mankind. And so here we're talking about the applied heart. We take what God has given to us, the ability to make choices, the freedom to make choices, some would call it the free will of mankind, and we apply it, we put it to good use. And what is the use there? Notice it says, apply thine heart to what? Unto instruction. What is instruction? What is right? It's the things that are right. When you were in school, and if you still are in school, you sat in a room and you were instructed with information that you needed to know in order to help you in the future. By the way, really, if anybody's being truly honest, no one ever really stops learning, or at least we should not stop learning. We're always learning something. And so we're always sitting in the seat of instruction. How are you applying your heart in that seat? Are you applying it unto the instruction? Or are you, like I was all too often in school, daydreaming and looking out the window, you know, not paying attention to the lessons that God is trying to teach? And so this idea of speaking the truth in our heart, we have to guard against a divided heart. We have to beware of those that have divided heart. And then we need to have an applied heart, one that's applied unto instruction. The idea of instruction here is discipline, things that keep us in line, so to speak. It's a disciplinarian, instruction is. It tells us what is right and the things that we need to do in order to stay right. As 2 Timothy tells us, instruction in righteousness there. And then notice at the end of the verse there, it says, apply thine heart unto instruction and thine ears to the words of knowledge. These words of knowledge are very important. It's something that is said that causes awareness. The problem is, all too often, we're just oblivious. There's no awareness, it's more obliviousness, you know. And we're just tooling down the road of life, and you know, things are flying by us. We're not paying attention except to the bumper of the car in front of us, you know. And God is trying to take us somewhere. God is trying to lead us somewhere. And the problem is we're just not paying attention like we ought to. And if we're going to have a heart that speaks truth, we need to have an applied heart to the instruction of God as he instructs us throughout life. Keep reading there in Psalm chapter 23. He goes on to say in verse number 13, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. Now that word beat in the world we're living in is not a, you know, it's not an acceptable word, right? And but this isn't talking about child abuse, okay? When I was growing up, my dad had a piece of wood. It was about this big, I don't know, about maybe 3 or 4 inches, and it was about, oh, maybe 2 feet long, and about an inch, maybe 3/4 of an inch thick this way. And on it, with a big black marker, he wrote the rod of correction. I hated that thing. But he would have to use it, right? He applied the rod of correction to the seat of learning sometimes. And as a result of that, you know, hopefully good things happened and good things came out of it. But the fact of the matter is, we're not talking about child abuse here. We're talking about the rod of correction, the fact, and I'm not going to get into corporal punishment, all that, but the Bible's very clear what God expects and what God recommends and commands. Verse number 15, notice he says, my son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. So here we're talking about the wise heart. If any of you lack wisdom, what? Let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Wisdom is the principal thing. It's the primary thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Wisdom crieth in the streets, right? Go through the book of Proverbs. Wisdom's all through the book of Proverbs, the personification of wisdom. And look, if you want a wise heart, just ask God for wisdom. But you'll never have a heart that speaks truth if you don't have a wise heart. And wisdom, a wise heart, only comes from God because wisdom is God. God is wisdom. And as we understand it, we're not going to take time to look at it. And again, you can go through earlier chapters in the book of Proverbs there where wisdom is searching for people and wanting to reward those that are seeking for her and all those types of things. And God gives us almost a human attributes, a personification of what wisdom is and what wisdom does. The Bible's very clear. Look, if you want wisdom, just ask me, God said. Just ask me. I'll give it to you. All you have to do is ask. And I won't even get upset. I won't upbraid you at all. Remember, there were several times in the gospel records we find Jesus upbraided the disciples for their unbelief. But remember, if you're going to ask for wisdom, ask in faith. Because if you don't ask in faith, then you will waver like the waves of the sea. And let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Why? Because a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. The book of James tells us all that. So a wise heart, we must have a wise heart. And as we have this wise heart, notice the result of the wise heart there in verse number 15. My son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. And this is something that brings joy to the Lord when we have a wise heart. And of course, that's one area or one way that or one ingredient, I suppose we could say, in having a heart that speaks the truth. Verse 16, Proverbs 23:16. Yea, my reins shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. Verse 17, let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Look over at Psalms, the book of Psalms, chapter number, let's see here. See if I can find it real quick. 73. Psalm chapter 73. The verse there, let not thine heart envy sinners. Look at Psalm 73, verse 1. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. Watch this. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. You know who wrote this? Asaph. You know who Asaph was? From what I can understand, Asaph was the temple choir director. He had a pretty elevated position in the nation of Israel. He was of the tribe of Levi, and he was a Levite, and he wasn't necessarily involved in the sacrifices, although that was part of it. But he was one of the musicians. He was one of the people that led the singers in the temple. And so you would think a guy like Asaph, I mean, he's a pretty spiritual guy. He's got some things together, right? You know, he's got an exalted position here. But notice what he said there in Psalm 73. He said, when I saw the prosperity of the wicked, I was envious. But in Proverbs chapter 23, we're told, let not thine heart envy sinners. If you keep reading down through Psalm 73, he talks about all these things about the wicked. We'll not take time to do it. But down toward the end of the chapter, he says, it wasn't until I went into the sanctuary of God that I understood their end, and that God has put the wicked in slippery places. and they don't have any stability underneath them. You see, the difference between the sinner, the wicked, and the righteous person, as we see in Psalm 15, they shall never be moved, right? But the wicked are in slippery places. They don't have stability. They don't have a sure footing. They don't have the right kind of foundation. And why is that? Because one of the things is to have a heart that is not envious towards sinners. But notice here, but be thou, verse 17 of Proverbs 23, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. A heart that fears God. A heart that fears God. When you have a heart that fears God, you're including another ingredient into having a heart that speaks the truth. Having a heart that speaks the truth. The idea here of envy in Psalm or Proverbs 23, 17, let not thy heart envy sinners, is the idea of being jealous of. You know, Asaph looked around and he said, these wicked people, looks like they got it pretty good. I'm over here trying to live for God. I'm over here trying to serve God. You can read it. It's all in Psalm 73. He said, I've washed my hands in vain. I've cleansed my heart in vain. He said, I've been trying to live for God and do what's right, and it doesn't seem like I'm getting anything out of it. And all of these wicked people, they're not doing anything to please God. As a matter of fact, just the opposite. And it seems like they have all that their heart could desire. And I'm over here struggling, and the fight is real, you know? And it's just, man, it's tough. But understand, let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Don't be envious of the wicked. Asaph was there, and we do get there sometimes. Let's just be honest, okay? We get there sometimes. We think, man, I'm trying, I'm working, I'm trying to please God, and it just seems like I take one step forward and two steps backwards, you know? Paul said the same thing in the book of Romans. He said, things that I want to do, I don't do. Things I don't want to do, I do. How do I get the victory? He said, well, through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ gives us the victory because he won the victory. And so as we understand the wicked and who they are and their end, it puts it a little bit, puts it more in perspective for us that this idea of jealousy or envy that we have toward these wicked can be removed out of our hearts and our minds, and the fear of the Lord can be put in. So keep reading there in verse number 18, Proverbs 23, 18, for surely there is an end. And thine expectation shall not be cut off. Hear thou, my son, and be wise. Here it is. And guide thine heart in the way. Our heart needs to be guided. It needs to be a guided heart. This is the idea of a level or a plumb line. And I think probably most, if not all of us, know what a level is. It's for making things completely straight and flat, right? And you put a level on something and you level it out and it has stability. It's not cockeyed or crooked one way or another. That's what we're talking about here. This idea of guide thine heart in the way. The word guide has the idea of being on a level surface, an even plane, if you will. Or a plumb. We set a plumb line, and what does it do? It gives a straight line up and down this way. Level can do it if you got it there, but hanging a string from something, you get the idea. The whole purpose here is to have a guided heart or a level heart, one that listens with obedience. Hear thou, my son, and be wise. Listen with obedience. And when I listen with obedience, then my heart is guided. And notice he says, guide thine heart in the way. He's not saying you be the guide of your heart. He's saying, let my word be the guide of your heart. Guide thine heart in the way. What's the way? The word of God, you see. And as I allow the word of God to have its proper work, it gives me the right measurement and the right perspective on things. And I'm right there, you see. Speaking the truth in our hearts. Speaking the truth in our heart. What does it take? It takes a guided heart. Keep reading. Verse number 19, look at verse number 20. Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice. And he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. What is this? Can we put it this way? A donated heart. Now we're talking about, obviously not heart transplant, but who have you given your heart to? Who have you given your heart to? You've given your heart to somebody. It's been given to somebody. Have you given it to the right person? Have you given it to God? My son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. The idea here is I receive something and now I'm pleased with that gift. Okay? Look, God is looking for people who will just be willing to give up themselves and let Him have control. And somebody told D.L. Moody this, and maybe you've heard this illustration before, but somebody told D.L. Moody this years ago. They said, God has yet to see, or the world has yet to see what God can do with someone who is totally surrendered to Him. Totally and completely. D.L. Moody, from what we understand, said when he heard that, I'll be that person. I'm going to give myself to God totally and completely. And at the end of D.L. Moody's life, the illustration goes that he said, the world has yet to see what God can do with someone who is totally given to God. Their heart is given to God, donated to the Lord. And think about everything that D.L. Moody did. You know, think about how God used him. So understand this idea of a donated heart, a given heart, a heart that is a gift to the Lord. Look, God gave a gift to us. You know, Christmas time. You know, you get a gift from somebody, and then you think, oh no, I didn't get a gift for them. You know? And what do? You either find something to re-gift or you run to the store and get them something. And, oftentimes we give sometimes because we get. And may I say, that's where we ought to be with our lives. God gave Himself to us, and we ought to give because we've received from Him. You see, we've received His Son. We've received Himself. We've received salvation. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. Then he goes on to say some other things there. But go back to Psalm chapter 15. Psalm chapter 15. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? In the end of verse number 2, he that speaketh the truth in his heart. End of verse number 5, he that doeth these things shall never be moved. You want stability? You want certainty? You want foundation? Then speak the truth in your heart. And it's more, in my opinion, it's more about the heart and what goes into the heart than anything else. It's that truth of the Word of God that comes in and that we speak that truth, not to others first, but to ourselves. By the way, you'll never speak the truth to others until it's in your life and in your heart and you've internalized it. Speak the truth in his heart. Father, help us with this truth. We thank you for your word and how it guides and directs us, how it encourages us. I ask you would help us now as we go into this coming week and the things that we're going to face, the circumstances that you allow into our lives. God, whatever it may be, I ask you'd help us to rely on you. Help us to understand what you're trying to accomplish in our lives, and I pray that even if we don't understand, that we would accept your will to be accomplished, and that we would trust that you always do what's best. And God, above all these things, as we talked about tonight, help us to speak the truth in our hearts. Help us to have the right kind of heart, a heart that's yielded to you, that can be used of you, that's useful, so that you can accomplish your purpose, not just in, but through us. Help us, Lord, in Christ's name. Stand if you would. Piano's going to play. Perhaps God's speaking to your heart. The altar's open. Talk to the Lord about it. Will you speak the truth in your heart? Speak the truth. hope you have a happy Mother's Day. And I'm not going to ask you to respond visibly, but how many of you would give out a gospel tract this week? And just hand somebody a gospel tract and say, hey, read this when you get a chance. That's all you got to do. And we got plenty of them out there. I'm going to commit to do it. I'm going to commit to give out at least one gospel tract this week. If we each gave out one gospel tract this week, 2, 4, 6, I mean, we've got 25 or 30 people. That's 30 people that are going to get the gospel. And just commit to do it. And sometime when you're at the gas station or grocery store or something, just wing it at them if you have to. I don't know. But give out a gospel tract and to tell somebody about Jesus this week. Be an encouragement to folks, as we talked about earlier. Days like today aren't necessarily easiest for everybody. And so be thinking about folks.